right, take your Bibles. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 is where we'll start. That's not too bad. I think I got plenty of time. I'm thinking about preaching about an hour and a half this morning. So Ephesians chapter 5, that'll take me all the way to the end of Ephesians. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. And this morning and tonight, we're going to be looking at two parts to the new life, the believer's new life. And we've been looking at the believer's walk in unity in chapter 4, 1 through 16, beginning in verse 17, going through chapter 5, verse 17. You have a unit of thought called the believer's walk in holiness or purity. And we're going to begin in verse 17. In a moment, we're going to read through verse 24 as we talk about the new life. Mainly this morning, the old life, which we are to put off. And put on tonight, the new man, Christ Jesus. Okay? Let's stand in honor of God's word and let's begin reading in verse 17 of chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth not walk not, nor not as other Gentiles walk. A Gentile is a word in the Bible used for those that are unbelievers, the lost, in the vanity of their mind. Now, as I read this, I want you to note the condition of the lost man, the condition of you before you got saved. They walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Can I say America 2017, right? To work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Now he's talking to the believers. Now in position we are in Christ. We're to put off the old man. That's a code name for forsake or repent. But we're to be different. We're to walk as a believer, verse 21, if be so that you have heard him and that you have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation and the former conduct the old man. The old man is a word for the Adam's nature, the flesh, our sin nature that we were born with. The old man, you put it off, which is corrupt according to deceitfulness of lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. Now, we have the new man when we got saved by position, but we're ever going through this Christian journey of sanctification, which we're taking off and we're putting on. We're acting like who we are in Christ, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Father, I pray this morning you speak to us as we open your word this morning and tonight as we talk about the new life in Christ. And then when I get back, I'll finish the rest of it. Talks about the exchange life, what we did practice and what we are to practice now. So teach us from your word today. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We begin in verse 17. Paul tells us, in view of the fact of our spiritual blessings in the earlier chapter, chapter 4, and the fact that we're members in the body of Christ, members of one another, we should walk differently from unbelievers, right? I mean, that's a given. That's Christianity 101. We shouldn't have to explain that. The Christian is called out of the world, and his life is to be different as he walks in this world after heavenly things, as pilgrims and strangers on this earth. And you know, I've told y'all before how much I like that word pilgrim and stranger and aliens and sojourners. That's who we are. We've been called out of the world and our life is to be different. Thing about pilgrims, if you go back to the Mayflower, and it correlates with us as Christians, as pilgrims, they left England and maintained their pilgrim character in the foreign land, right? It aggravates me so much when I see the world trying to get Mennonites and Amish to compromise their character or compromise their culture. That's a classic example of the world trying to conform these people to the world rather than being transformed in Jesus Christ. And more times than not, the Christian has allowed himself, it's all over America today, the Christian has allowed himself to to be conformed to the culture rather than to maintain our distinct identity as a believer in Jesus Christ. You see, after you're saved, it's all about living out who you are in Christ, okay? And that's what it's about here. But no, more times than not, we are conformed by the world, Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we're not being renewed by the Word of God. Now, Paul, in this chapter here, beginning in verse 17, talks about the characteristics of the walk of the old man, which believers are to forsake, in verses 17 through 19. And then he talks about the walk of the new man, which we are to put on, in verses 20 through 24. And then probably next time when we get back, we're going to talk about the old man and the new man, how they contrast each other. Now, let's pick up, first of all, in verse 17. Let's look at the walk of the old man. The old man, again, you remember that old song, "The old man is dead, the old man is crucified with Christ"? You were crucified with Christ when you came to the cross, right? Positionally speaking, the old man is dead, but you still have the sin nature in you, and there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit ongoing. But by position, the old man is dead, so we don't need to give him opportunity to pop up his head in our life. So we are to walk not like the old man that has positionally been killed in our life, but we are to day by day not render our members as members of unrighteousness as the old man is. Notice what he said in verse 17. "Therefore, I say, testify unto the Lord that you henceforth walk not." Now he tells us what we were, but not how we are not to walk like this anymore. And we note six characteristics this morning of the old man's behavior and the conduct of the lost condition, which you were, and which people who are lost today manifest in their lives. Number one, in first verse 17, look in the latter part of verse 17, "Don't walk as other Gentiles walk." Now, how is their walk? Now, when we talk about walk now, we're talking about conduct. We're talking about your behavior, okay? Christian behavior is different now that we're in the new man, okay? So how do Gentiles, how do lost people walk, and how did you walk before you got saved? Now, this text is not saying we're not going to slip back into some of these, but we're not going to stay there long because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, okay? Now, notice what he says there. First of all, in verse 17b, he says, first characteristic is of the old man is they walk in the vanity of their mind. Walk in the vanity of their mind. When we think of vanity, we think of pride, don't we? Now, the original word means a mirage, or an illusion, or that which is imagined but not true. In other words, lost people are going through their whole life living a mirage, living an illusion, something that's not true. They're seeking after that with all their efforts, financially and physically. And they're living in the futility of their mind, the vain heart, and it's empty. They're pursuing something that will never fulfill them, is what the text says, okay? They're walking after a mirage. They're never going to find it without Christ. Now, notice the second characteristic of the lost man in verse 18a, having their understanding darkened. He says in verse 18a, having their understanding darkened. We'll talk in a minute why their understanding is darkened, but what does it talk about here when it says having their understanding darkened? In other words, they're spiritually dead. They don't know God. They don't know His Son. They are without illumination of the Holy Spirit. They are without the Spirit. They have not repented of their sins and asked Christ to come into their heart as Lord and Savior, believe solely upon Him to get them to heaven, and their understanding is darkened. They're incapable of understanding spiritual things because the Holy Spirit is not in them that enlightens them to the truth of God. Now, why is their understanding darkened? Look in verse 18. Because they're alienated from the life of God. You see it there in the latter part of verse 18? They're separated from God with no divine life. Man is incapable and unwilling outside of the quickening of the Holy Spirit of God. And so they're following this mirage, living a futile life in vanity, thinking they're accomplishing something, but all they're doing is endless barrage of things in their life that make no sense and does not benefit them any kind of way. They're alienated, that separated from the life of God. That's what it means to be lost. You're separated from God because of sin, right? And you can't have a relationship with God. You can't work your way to God. You can't get good enough to get to God. That's why God came to us in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ lived a perfect, righteous life. And then when we place our faith in him, we go on his coattails, if you will, to heaven because of his righteousness. Now, there is placed at that time a desire in a believer's heart to live righteous. But none of us can ever live enough righteous moments in our life to get us to heaven. We go there because the righteousness of Christ, Paul said, has been imputed to our account. Right? Everybody understand that? You can't earn heaven. You go into heaven because of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only way you're going to go. Now, if there's never a desire in your life to live righteous or holy, then your salvation isn't suspect. Right? But there's a desire to be like Christ. There's a desire to let that old man be completely done away with by practice. He's already done away with by position. But let him be done away with by practice, that we may put on, sanctify is another word we could use there, put on Christ Jesus here. Being alienated from the life of God. That's why you see what you see on the news. That's what you see when you read, I don't know who reads a newspaper anymore, I don't. I get my news off the Fox News app on my phone, right? In fact, I don't watch not Fox News much anymore. Man, there's too many MASH reruns and Gunsmoke reruns. That takes up my whole night, you know, trying to watch those. I bet Tommy watches Gunsmoke, don't he? Kevin, don't? I got to have a talk with him then. But, MASH. But being alienated from the life of God. Do y'all understand the dreadfulness of this situation to be separated from God for eternity? Aren't you glad today that you are no longer alienated from God, but you're a child of God? Amen? And you're in relationship with him. Now, some people say, well, there's a divine spark in everyone. I cannot find that in the Bible. The Bible teaches total depravity. Total human depravity. Man is dead in sin, the Bible says. There's no spark of righteousness in you. There's no spark, divine spark in you. That's not Bible talk. That's feel-good talk. The Bible does not teach that. You must be born again. Not from within yourself. You're born from above, right? John said. Now notice something else here in the latter part of verse 18. They are alienated from the life of God. Why? Through or because the ignorance that is in them. Now notice that in verse 18. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Through the ignorance that is in them. Now we're not talking about people not having good book learning. We're not talking about people not going to school. What is he talking about when he says the ignorance that is in them? Well, they are wise to the things of the world, but they're ignorant to the things of God. The ignorance here is to the things of God. They might know how to build a building. They might know how to build a skyscraper. They may know how to organize this and that, but they're ignorant toward God, right? The ignorance that is in them. Now, ignorant means want of knowledge or perception of God. And by the way, Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, man is without excuse. I don't care wherever they live in this world, even if they've never heard the gospel. The Bible says that man is without excuse, right? Because God has revealed himself in creation, right? He's revealed himself. And as you respond, as the heathen in Africa responds to God, to the creator, God, don't you know that God will send them a missionary to give them the gospel? Amen? And ultimately, the ultimate revelation is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But man is without excuse. Paul, for instance, the ignorance that was in him, he thought he was doing, me and Larry's talked about this often, he thought he was doing the right thing. He was a Pharisee. But he was ignorant in these things. He didn't know the truth, right? He didn't know about the Son. And he didn't have that divine in him to show him the truth. And he said he did it out of ignorance, but yet still responsible, right, for his sin before, until he got saved. Lost man was born with this ignorance in their nature. Notice he says there in the latter part of verse 18, it's in them. That's it. You were born in sin, born in your trespasses and sin. It is in you the moment you got born. Faye and I were having a discussion on the way to church this morning, and I know I'm setting myself up for danger here to share with you our conversations. But it was about little kids and how they act sometimes. Right, Faye? That was the gist of it, wasn't it? Okay, good. Well, good. I'm free to say whatever I want to say then, if she can't remember it. But, you know, we're born with a sin nature, folks. As much as we love our children, as much as you're born with a bent away from God, right? We're dead in our trespasses and sins. We don't have to teach our children how to sin. We have to teach them how to not sin, right? You know, and we learned very quickly with John and Amy, it wasn't long before we understood that whatnots do not go on the bottom two shelves, right? And they're going to be broken, right? So we're born with this, the ignorance that is within us, yet without excuse. The Bible said it is in them. I can't get that across strong enough. It's in them, right? Ephesians 2:1. What? You are dead in your trespasses and sins. Okay? Now, notice verse 18 also. Characteristic number 5 of the lost man. And these are things that God wants us to put off. Although we may, by practice, slip into some of these, but not by position. Look in the latter part of verse 18. Because, why is this ignorance in them? Why? Because the blindness of their heart. You see that in the latter part? Because of the blindness of their heart. You know, it's amazing if you read the Bible like it's written, right? And you read it and understand the clauses and how much syntax, how it's put together, how the words go together. It tells you why they have this ignorance in them, because of the blindness of the heart, because of the darkness of their heart here, the hardening of their heart. We'll put it another way. The word means a heart that is under the influence of an anesthetic. That's what the word, that's how it's used in the Greek. A person under an anesthetic. So what does that mean to us then? The lost man is not awake of the true condition of things. They go through their life, the vanity of their minds, going after this illusion, mirage, which they think is real, and they think they've arrived when they never really arrived, because they're living the whole life under an illusion. They're not awake. They're not aware of their lost condition, right? That's why we have to tell them why they need to be saved, right? Because they're lost. They're undone without Jesus Christ. So the lost man is not awake of the true condition of things. Now, by the way, let me say this. Basically, a lot of people in the world are not awake to what's going on in the world, right? But we as Christians know that the birth pains are getting stronger and more frequent, and the Lord's judgment is coming, right? He's about to give birth. The Messiah is about to come. And the world will be judged here. But as they go through this life, walking in the vanity of their mind, seeking this illusion or this mirage, and they become calloused and apathetic to their own condition, right? Some of the worst people to try to witness to are people that are church members that are lost, right? Because they think religion has saved them, right? But then notice characteristic number 6 in verse 19. Who being past, now he's talking about the old man, okay? He's talking about the man without Christ, okay? I want to iterate here. You're going to still sin after you get saved. Sometimes the old man's going to pop his head up, right? But by practice, it's going to get less and less the more you put on Christ Jesus, which we'll talk about tonight. Look in verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Are you aware of the Antifa movement, the anti-fascist movement? You got fascists trying to... They're fascists themselves, and they're against fascism, right, Brother Frank? And they made a statement the other day that every day they're going to work toward the overthrow of President Trump. Well, it didn't get off to a good kick, so most of them stayed home, all right? But my prayer is that these college campuses will crack down and do what they have to, kick them out, arrest them, shoot them with rubber bullets, anything they got to do to calm this thing, right? Because we can't have this breakdown of moral law and lack of respect and anarchy in America if we're going to survive, right? Now, notice what I said. Why did I say that? Who being past feeling have given them... Folks, you turn on the news at night and you'll see people with past their feeling. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness, working all uncleanness and greediness. Because of their heart is not awake to their true condition, they are past feeling. Folks, that's a sad day in America. That's what's happening, folks. We need to pray ever more for our law enforcement, for our military, for those in criminal justice. They have jobs that I would not want to have. They don't want me in those jobs. I'd be arrested. I'd be in jail today and murder for somebody. I could not even counsel nobody like that. I'd be locked up. They don't want to turn me loose on the parole board, right? They don't want to turn me loose on this and that and the other. I would not do good. I would not function in that environment, right? I have enough trouble with ornery church members sometime, right? But they're past feeling. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for our law enforcement, our military, our president. We need to pray for those, because once we break down in America between right and wrong and break down that thin blue line between them and us, folks, we're in for a bad time, right? And we need to understand that today, because their heart is not awake to their true condition, their past feeling the pain of their conscience when they do these things. And their conscience becomes duller and duller the more they sin. That's why they can do some of the things they do. They have no conscience. It's defiled. It's a dead conscience, the Bible says. They lose all moral restraint, and they surrender themselves to sin. In fact, they really work hard at sinning, okay? Their mind, it occupies their mind 24 hours a day. How can they satisfy the sinful desires of the flesh, right? And the only thing that's going to change man is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a 24, y'all listening to your pastor, it's not a 24-step program. It's repentance and faith. Amen? The only thing that can change man. You may be here today and you never come to Christ. You never understood that you're a sinner and you're on your way to an eternal hell without Jesus Christ. God loves you. He doesn't want you to go there. God loves you. He wants you to go to heaven. And he sent his son to die on that cross for you. But you must come to him in repentance, understanding your lost condition, understanding that he is God's son who died in your place. He took God's wrath on that cross for you, that you may not have to experience the wrath of God. So if you're here today and you've never done that, you need to do that today, folks. The clock is ticking on this world. We're at 11:55 and counting, right? Christ comes back any moment, takes his church home. Guess what? You left behind. You never confessed Christ as Lord and Savior. You're going to have to go through the tribulation period. You're going to have to be martyred for the faith when you don't take the mark of the beast. Now, you can still get to heaven that way. But, folks, how much easier it is to come right now in an age of grace, right? While he's calling you, okay? All heads bowed, all eyes closed as our musicians come make their way here. Father, I pray that you do your will and purpose in this life. Is there anyone here today under the sound of my voice that needs to come to Jesus? We pray that they come today. Anyone that needs to be baptized? Anyone maybe that hasn't united with a fellowship? They're baptized, they claim to be saved, but they haven't united with a church. Or maybe they want to come here and unite with this church from another church. Whatever it might be, we pray, Father, that you do it. Work it out, your purpose and your will. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. All right, if you would.